Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. And welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how are you?
I'm doing well. This is show 133. Dan, can you believe it? Another little bit of a couple days after Christmas. We're going to talk a little news, a little what happened this past year and what's coming in the year ahead for us at Disney World.
Sounds awesome.
So how was your Christmas, Dan?
Oh, can't complain. It was nice. Had the family over and kids were back home and two dogs in the house and all the chaos that goes with that. So it was a good Christmas for us. How about yourself?
So good. So Pluto had a playmate this week.
Yeah, Pluto had pickles with him this Christmas. So they were quite a tandem running around the house for the last couple of days.
Yeah, I bet your son was happy to get a few days out of the kitchen too, huh?
Yeah, he was. They had a long, they drove up from the city, so they were only here for, a couple of days. But we enjoyed the time that we had, and back to the city they went. So.
Now, does he control the cooking when he comes home? Does he like critique or?
No, not really. He kind of likes to get away from it. I mean, he makes a couple of dishes or whatever, but. We got the spiral cut ham and all the stuff is pretty much all ready to go. But, he's good.
See, me and my wife would, when we eventually get to meet him and hang out with him, we'd be picking his brain for all kind of things. Because, us two loving to cook, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's, he's a type of guy that, you go to a restaurant, he usually orders the most
complicated meal.
Yeah, it was something that most people wouldn't order. He likes to go out of the box, if you will. So, if there's buffalo or something like that on the menu, he's usually going for something like that. He's not going to get the spaghetti and meatballs.
Nah. What kind of restaurant does he cook at?
It's like a French style bistro, Little Prince in New York City. It's in the Soho area, and they do all kinds of fine dining there. Nice little place.
Well, we get to meet up there this year. We're going to go eat there.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
I wonder if the chef will come out to the table that night.
He better. He better be comping us some stuff, too.
Yeah. But I'm glad you had a great Christmas. Ours was good. We had family in the same thing. It was good times, Got Disney gift cards and getting ready for next trip. which is a good thing.
Yes.
And we ate out the other night. We ate at a local place. It's called the Franklinville Inn. It's rated actually one of the United States 100 best restaurants.
Okay.
And we ate there. It's really good. It's a Christmas tradition for us. We go every year now. It's been like the past 7-8 years we've been doing it.
Yeah, that's nice.
The food is out of this world. It's a place you can only afford to go once a year if you follow me.
Yeah, it's like Le Cellier.
Yes. And then I also have my stepmama G, the lady who I moved to Florida. She gives me a gift card for there every year, so it kind of helps take some of the shrapnel away from the bill when it comes in.
I hear you.
Yeah, but it's wonderful. Yeah, the food's really good. We really enjoyed ourselves.
Awesome.
So it was a wonderful holiday. I hope all of our listeners had a great holiday. Real quick, I want to thank our buddy John Peters for sending us all the guides for Christmas for the holidays around the parks. Wasn't that nice of him?
It was. I actually got that a couple days before Christmas, and I neglected to thank him for it, but I did send out a tweet and I DM'd him too, so I hope he got those messages, and if not, I hope he's listening to this show and he knows how much we appreciate him as a friend of the show and a great listener.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. John's a good guy. I got mine only a few days ago, too, so I DM'd him myself because it came to the – I send everything to the business P.O. box.
Right.
And with the holidays and all, I hadn't been there for a week.
Right.
So I go over there and get it. I'm like, oh, man, he sent these out on, like, the 16th. I felt bad.
Right, right.
I didn't want to think I forgot about him. But, John, we really appreciate everything you do for the show. you're a real good friend, and like Dennis said, thank you very much.
Kudos, exactly.
So you want to hop into a little news, partner?
Yeah, now that Christmas is in the rearview mirror, we're looking towards the next big holiday, which is New Year's Eve, and
I thought it was Easter.
I wish it was Easter. Let me tell you.
Me too, Dan. I have baskets sitting here.
Yeah.
But it ain't helping.
I hear you. But anyways, Magic Kingdom, Disney World at the Magic Kingdom, they've released their entertainment lineup for the Magic Kingdom. So Magic Kingdom will once again be hosting two nights of New Year's Eve entertainment this year. And the park hours for December 30th will be 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. with extra magic hours, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. Wow.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Magic Kingdom till 3 a.m. if you're yeah, up for it on the 30th.
I'm in.
And then on the 31st, Magic Kingdom park hours, 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. with extra magic hours, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. So it's only open to 2. It's a short night on the 31st.
Yeah, well, they figure everybody will be hungover from the 30th right into the 31st. Enough is enough.
Yeah, probably. Some of the entertainment offerings are Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade will be at 12 p.m. and at 3:30. The Frozen Holiday Wish will be at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Celebrate the Magic, 8 p.m. and 11:25 p.m. The Main Street Electrical Parade will kick off at 6:30 p.m. Holiday Wishes Fireworks at 7:30 p.m. And then Fantasy in the Sky Fireworks at 11:50 p.m. So that's quite a bit of entertainment they're packing into these two celebratory days, if you will.
Well, the positive thing is they have to, because you're not going to be able to get on rides.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those have been following on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I mean, the Magic Kingdom parking lot was closed due to capacity a few times over the last few days. So, you know, those parks are just jammed full. I don't think they actually shut the park down, but I know they were sending people to the Epcot parking lot, and folks were having to take the
monorail.
Yeah, the monorail from Epcot back over to Magic Kingdom. So, as per usual, it's a busy time of year down there at Walt Disney World.
Well, one of my good friends is supposed to be there New Year's Eve, so I'm hoping to get some shots, some pictures for us, and I'll post them if he sends them to me. He promised me he would, but he's not the most reliable with the phone.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Well, but, yeah, he's one of my – he works at my local lumberyard. He's a Disney nut like us. He owns DVC. He goes down 3-4 times a year, so – he's a good guy. He said he would, so I'm hoping he'll follow through for us.
Yeah, that'd be nice if we get a few pictures and, you know, we can report.
Update.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. A couple other things. They were offering dance parties near the Country Bear Jamboree December 30th, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., and then December 31st, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. So I'm assuming those are, maybe on the hour or something like that, they come out and present that Country Bear Jamboree, but not the Country Bear Jamboree, but the dance party, I should say. And then the Castle Stage, December 30th, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., and then on the 31st, 9:30 p.m. and 2 a.m.
So, me and Brenda were sitting the other day. We were waiting for a package or something, and I was going through touring plans and checking out wait times and all.
Right.
What do you think the first two longest lines were every time I checked?
Of all of Disney World?
Trivia question. No, just at the Magic Kingdom. We're on the Magic Kingdom right now. What do you think the two longest lines were consistently all day?
Mine Train and Splash Mountain.
You're right on the first one. You're wrong on number two. I'll give you another guess.
People Mover.
No, that there's no line. Come on.
Yeah, I've been there. I've seen a line. But Space Mountain.
That was number three.
Okay. Big Thunder Mountain.
Nope. That was five.
Haunted Mansion.
Number two all day long for average was Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
That ride never ceases to amaze me,
that
man.
That makes sense.
It's always packed. I mean, I like it and all, but I mean, it's relentless. Isn't that line? It's like the park's – I swear you go to that Peter Pan and the park is completely closed and all the cast members are in line for it.
Right.
You can – I'm kidding, but you can never get on that ride without – You have to have Fast Pass all the time for that.
Yeah.
I think one time we hopped on it right away.
Last time I did Rope Drop at the Magic Kingdom, that was one of the things I did first with little to no line because I hadn't been on it in years, and I would never, you know, take the time to go on it. So I went on it just because I was in Fantasyland and there was no line. But if you don't get there at Rope Drop, you're right. You got to burn a Fast Pass or you just, you know, got to wait in the long lines.
The only time we ever got on it without it being lines is for my mother-in-law's 75th birthday when I told you we were there in February and it was frost out.
Right, right.
That was the time me and my nephew, we'd still be on Splash Mountain today if it wasn't for my Killjoy brother-in-law who was tired, had to go to bed. He was too tired. Once a year he goes to Disney World. He couldn't wait any longer. He's down there sleeping on a bench with my sister-in-law. Me and my godson, we could have rode forever.
Right, right.
We seen him outside as we were debating to get back on again, and because we waved it through so many times, and we seen him out half dozed on the bench. We were almost tempted to hop back on again, but we didn't.
Well, you have them opportunities, or you don't have those opportunities very often where you can take advantage of multiple rides in a row like that. I did
absolutely.
Yeah, I did that once on Animal Kingdom. Everest. I think I went 4 or 5 times. After that, the neck started to bother me and stuff. But
yep.
It was actually they had closed the attraction because there was lightning in the area. So, you know, everybody that was in line didn't feel like waiting. And you know how those things go. They never tell you. It could be 5 minutes or it could be 3 hours before they reopen.
It cracks you up when the ride is closed. They look like the Secret Service standing out front. They're kind of like 20 cast members there. Like there's going to be a gate bust or something.
And you ask, and they don't. You know, they know little. They probably know little less than you do. But you keep asking and keep asking. But anyways, the way it turned out is 5 minutes later they reopened it, and there was literally no line. So we were able to scoot on it 3 or 4 times in a row. But that was. That was quite a while ago. I couldn't do it 4 or 5 times now. No way. I don't think
you'd
I could.
Be in traction.
Exactly.
I barely do it once. This last trip we were there, it was closed when we went by. That's what I was saying. It's like Secret Service. And that's every ride when it's down.
Right.
I mean, they stand there with their arms behind their back.
Right, right.
At attention. What's wrong with it? It's down. We don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they don't answer anything.
Right.
And come back, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
It'll be posted. It's like I said, it's like the president's being guarded behind there. But the time we did Splash Mountain, me and Jimmy had How Do You Do embedded in our brain for, like, the next 10 days, man.
Oh, I bet. let's see. Yeah, continuing on the New Year's Eve festivities, something you don't see too often. They'll be offering complimentary treats. Cosmic Rays.
What was that? Could you repeat that?
Yeah, exactly.
Complimentary something?
Yeah, exactly. Cosmic Rays, Columbia Harbor House, Tomorrowland Terrace will be handing out complimentary cookies and hot chocolate from midnight to 1:30 a.m. Wow, that's a short window, huh?
Yeah, you better be there. That'll be the longest line in the park. You can get on Peter Pan when they're handing out
right,
cookies.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a line there now waiting to get them cookies and
getting something free. If I got them, I wouldn't even eat them. I'd take them home and put them in cellophane and, like, heat dry them, so I'd have them as a souvenir.
Yeah, you can say, remember when they used to give out free stuff?
Remember the one time they gave out free
stuff? Right, right. And then Hats and Horns. On December 31st, Hats and Horns will be distributed from 4 p.m. at the Tomorrowland Speedway, Splash Mountain, Adventureland Veranda, and near Little Mermaid Meet and Greet, so you can get your noisemakers and all that good stuff.
Well, if you guys didn't understand it, Dennis says Veranda, we say Veranda. So either way, so you know what we're talking about.
Depends where you're from. If you're from
exactly.
Jersey,
so we
it's
want to cover
Veranda,
all...
Veranda.
Yes.
Let's see.
Then I got to have fun. I got to end the new year on the same note. You know what I'm saying? The old year going into the new year on the same note.
It's all good. Well,
being a wise butt.
We can understand each other.
There you go.
Magic Kingdom's Island Supply to reopen as Sunglass Hut in early January. As expected, Island Supply in the Magic Kingdom's Adventureland will open as the Sunglass Hut in the new year. On January 8th, the Island Supply Sunglass Hut will sell a range of high-end sunglasses, such as Ray-Ban and Oakley. Sunglass Hut operates stores throughout the country in a flagship store at the Downtown Disney West Side. Island Supply closed on October 22nd, where it had previously sold a range of clothing and accessories. You know which store this is, Doug?
Absolutely, yeah. I got a pair of glasses. I got a pair of Ray-Bans at the downtown Disney store, and we actually had them in all of our local malls.
Right, right.
They're actually a really nice store. I mean, it's nice that you can actually buy sunglasses at Disney World, but they are going to – I wonder how much more high-end they're going to be in the park. I wonder if they'll be the same price in the park as they are in downtown or Disney Springs.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
West Side.
I mean, myself, over the years, I tend to buy the, you know, $15 cheapos because I've lost so many sunglasses down there. It isn't even funny. Once we were staying at the beach club, and I went down that slide there, the ship slide into the sand bottom pool, and I had my sunglasses on. When I hit the bottom, off they went, under the water they went, and I could not find them. I had the lifeguard shut the slide down. You know, they held everybody up top.
Oh, they hated you.
Oh, yeah, and I dove around and tried to find them. Never could find them, so I don't do the Ray-Bans down in Disney World. I just get cheapos.
Sorry to laugh. I'm just having the thought of you jumping in and out the water, diving, trying to find your sunglasses right now with your Mickey shorts on.
Yeah, well, it's pretty deep there. It's deep, you know, obviously, because people coming off the slide. I bet you it's 8 feet deep right there, something like that. Maybe not quite that deep, but, you know, I said, well, you know, they got to be right there. But you think I could find them? Nope. So I'm glad I didn't have Ray-Bans or Oakleys on that trip down the slide.
We lost a pair of, as you go in Hollywood Studios and you before you make the right to head down towards Tower of Terror, Sunset Boulevard and all, there's a store right there at that intersection. There is the old cars that's there.
Yep.
We were out back. I forget the name of the store, so you can email me, guys. But there's a little bench out there, and I had these Kenneth Coles that my wife bought me. And I had them for 4 or 5 years. While I was changing out film in the camera, I set the glasses on the arm of the bench. My wife took a picture of me while I was doing this.
Right.
Now, I walked away without the glasses. I lost the glasses, and then we realized where I lost them when the film got developed. We seen them sitting there on that arm of the bench, and she goes, "Mystery solved, idiot. You left them on the arm of the bench."
Yep, next person sat down, and oddly enough, somebody probably turned them in.
I went to find them.
Yeah.
They're lost and found. There must be 3,000 pair of sunglasses lost every day there.
Yeah.
There were so many of them, dude, nobody knew where they were. It was sad. But the better sunglasses do last longer. Like, I have Ray-Bans now that are really, really good. They're the ones I bought there. Mm-hmm. But you do worry about them all the time because when you spend $60 for a pair of glasses, you don't want to lose them. But I like them for work because the glass is better. So when I'm cutting and working outside, that's why I buy them.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I would wear them at home, no doubt. But just whenever I go to Florida, I seem to either lose them, break them, sit on them, whatever. And I usually stick them in my backpack. And you know, when, if you're out all day in the parks, you know, when the sun goes down, then you got to put them somewhere and blah, blah, blah. It's
about scratching them off,
exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. But that's the case. It's just more to carry. But, yeah, I've done my damage to glasses there myself.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's something different. It's something to have there. I'm sure I bet it'll do really well. I mean, every day, you know, people want glasses there, so.
Yeah, I mean, it is the sunshine state, right? So, I mean, sunglasses makes all the sense in the world. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of the merchandise that was in that store is, you know, you could pretty much get anywhere on property. So it's not like they're taking something away.
Well, hopefully maybe they'll come up with, being they have two franchises down there, maybe they'll have some kind of Disney World glasses special for the Magic Kingdom, or maybe they'll come out with some nice cases or something, because I always enjoy having anything Disney as far as cases and stuff.
Yeah, some sort of insignia on there, or some engraving or something like that. Yeah, that would be awesome.
So it'll entice you. It's another store to go in and look at and get cooled off in.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny, when I used to be a cast member, I used to be able to get backstage at the Magic Kingdom, and there's a couple of big cast member-only stores back behind the Magic Kingdom. And anyways, you talk about sunglasses. I think you said there's like 3,000 a day at the Magic Kingdom. You know those laundry rolling
baskets,
they're huge. You could probably fit 15 trash bags in it. there's bins and bins and bins and bins of sunglasses back there that you can buy for a buck or two.
Yeah, see, this is where I'm skeevoso. That's why I didn't continue to look, because that's what it had. They had them in a big basket.
Yep.
And the gentleman at Lost and Found tosses the basket up on the counter and goes, if you can find yours. Now, all I can think about is how many hands and crap were on them. I didn't even want my glasses after the way they were buried in there, because where they put them, they're going to be scratched and ruined anyway.
Yeah, it is kind of gross. I agree with you. But it is amazing the amount of lost items like that that just – it's just enormous. I mean, you know, if you lost something, even if you went back a half hour later, to expect to find it be slim and none, I think. Although I have heard a lot of stories about people that have lost cameras on attractions and stuff like that, and they tend to get them back. I've heard a lot of good stories about that. But
it all depends on who thy neighbor is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, trusted
like,
you.
I think them Kenneth Coles, I think if they see $10 glasses, they return them. I think if they see Ray-Ban, Kenneth Coles, or something like that, I think they probably stick them in their pocket.
Yeah, I guess. Trust in your fellow man, right?
Yeah. I would turn them in. I always do. That's why I'm the guy always losing it, and somebody else is always getting it.
Right. That's the right thing to do. Let's see. Moving right along here. If you're going to be over at Epcot during New Year's Eve, they'll have,
that's where I would be.
Yeah, me too, I think.
It has more space to hide.
Yeah. No, there is, no doubt about it. But Future World will be open 8 a.m. to 1 a.m., World Showcase 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. So the whole park's open to 1 a.m. Special hours, Universe of Energy, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., Innovations, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Hat and Horn distribution is from 6 p.m. to 9:15 p.m. in Future World West at the Performing Arts Stage. Future World East along the Wonders Walkway, the American Adventure Pavilion, Germany Pavilion, and Morocco Pavilion. So plenty of places to get your hat and horn.
Yeah, and there's going to be plenty of places where I read, too, also, to get your drink on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of...
There you go, Bob.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Bob and Mary will have their... They'll be spread out through Epcot's World Showcase.
Yeah, I wish I was there with them.
Me, too. I'd like to tip my arm with them for New Year's Eve.
That would be awesome. For transportation, the Friendship boats will operate from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the International Gateway, with World Showcase Lagoon boats stopping at 4 p.m. So that's interesting. You got to walk around, the boats after 4 p.m. inside of the World Showcase.
I don't know if maybe that's – and this might be being cynical, but I don't know if maybe they don't want the people being a little hammered walking around water trying to get on a boat.
Yeah, maybe on the docks and stuff like that.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just precaution.
Yeah, could be.
Is it, you know, that day has to be the worst day as far as, you know, people getting hammered there.
It's got to be up there. If it's not the most, it's definitely up there, I would say.
But I guess also because they have all the special fireworks and stuff, too, they shut the boats down for what they're going to do. Oh, that's why. I know why they shut it down. I just thought of it. Ba-dum-bum, in-show switch around. No, they have two fireworks on New Year's Eve, don't they? One at 6 p.m. and then one later.
Yeah, 6 p.m.
They have two illuminations, so that's why they shut the boats down.
Yeah, I'll mention it now since you brought it up, but the illuminations with the holiday finale at 6 p.m., illuminations with the New Year's countdown at 11:40 p.m. So
my drinking observation is not good. It's because it is 6 p.m.
Correct.
I just remember that. I read that the other day that they're having two shows.
Right. Some of the entertainment offerings, and I'm going to profess here that I don't know what half of these are, but I'll give it a whirl. Future World Fountain Stage, DJ Scooter will be appearing from 7 p.m. to 11:35 and then 12:10 to 1 a.m.
Now, he's pretty good, but I like DJ Big Wheel better.
Yeah. Yeah. Japan, Silent Groove, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. American Gardens Theater, DJ Steve Dunlap, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. American Gardens Theater, DJ Carlos Caron, 7 p.m. to 7:20 p.m., 8 p.m. to 8:50 p.m., 9:30 p.m. to 10:05 p.m., 10:45 to 11:35 p.m. and 12:40 a.m. to 1 a.m.
Now, with that silent groove, does everybody dance without music?
You tell me and we'll both know.
I mean that kind of sounds like it to me. He's silent groove, so maybe he teaches everybody how to dance without no music.
All right, now I'm going to try to speak another language, which I can't even speak English. So,
you speak Bostonian half,
right?
You know,
right? American Gardens Theater, Orquestria Punto Y Como. I have no idea what that is. I'm assuming it's Spanish.
I just want to hear you say that again.
Right. So, no, that's it. 7:20, 8 p.m., 8:50 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., 10:05. They'll just be offering this several times throughout the evening. China, DJ Dominic Morrison, again, 7 p.m., 11:30, 5 p.m. Italy, DJ Mark Sanchez. UK, DJ Dave Griffin.
He's the quarterback of my football team.
Mark Sanchez?
Yeah, what's he?
Who are you?
Moonlighting as a DJ?
Hey, things are tough.
The way we've been playing, I hope he's a better DJ than he is a quarterback at this point.
I guess I could have wrapped this up. Sorry to the listeners for boring you with all these times, but there's just going to be several DJs around the World Showcase. Yeah,
remember to get your guide maps when you enter the park, because there's all – you don't realize all the extra festivities that are going on these special days, and you're gonna have to enjoy that, because you're not gonna get on all the rides you want to. If you're going there New Year's Eve, plan on getting on Soarin', don't.
Yeah, it's pretty much just the fact of being there and saying, you know, as the saying goes, I was there. At least you could scratch it off the bucket list. But you really, I agree with you, Doug. If doing attractions is what your thing is, you probably don't want to be in Disney World at all during the Christmas/New Year's time frame. But again,
you better been on my Disney experience at midnight on that 60th day and got your fast passes. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's to say I've been there, done that, and got my Epcot T-shirt. That's about it.
Oh, you're not kidding. And there's going to be 8 temporary bars set up around the World Showcase. I think you alluded to that earlier, Doug. So you'll have more places to get your drinks and stuff like that, because I'm sure the lines will be massive at all of the, usual locations, if you will, Germany and the United States, and all of those beer kiosks and wine kiosks that they have out in front of some of the countries. So there'll be additional 8 additional locations where you can get alcohol, if that's your thing.
Yep, get your drink on and go listen to some silent groove.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be anything silent that night at Epcot, let me tell you.
No, probably not. Let's see. IBM's Think and Test the Limits exhibits to close in early January. I've never seen these, so I'm not really sure, but it's within the Innovations East.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what's going to replace it. It was okay. We've roamed through there, and I check out all the stuff, but it's not I'm really going to miss. It's only been there this past year or so.
Yeah, a lot of those things are designed to come in and out and not be there for too long a time, so I don't think this is any big deal, and I'm sure something else will go in there and it'll be just as good, if not better.
Yeah, it's hit or miss in there sometimes. Sometimes we go in and there's like 4 or 5 things we really enjoy, and then there's other time where we just blow right through there and don't stop for anything. Now, have you ever done the animated coasters?
Not there, no. I've done them in actually Disney Quest in Chicago, but I have not done the ones there.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Some of those things that those kids do, oh my God, I would come out of there in a bag. They'd have to put me in a bag or put me on a gurney and carry me out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I did it, again, 15 years ago, so I could withstand it. But my son designed the roller coaster, and it was pretty intense. But again, just psychologically, knowing that it wasn't an actual roller coaster, I was all right with it. Had I been looking at the actual thing that he designed, I wouldn't have went on it in a million years.
Yeah, and the ones now, because I know the ones you're talking about, Disney Quest, the ones we did in there, they even move more elaborately. Like, they do more stuff.
Right, so it's more lifelike.
They do, Yeah, they do tunnels rolls. It's like crazy the way that thing rolls as you're going in.
Yeah, I'll leave that to the youngins.
I do the old wooden roller coaster when I do that. No loop-de-loops,
yeah,
man.
Right.
It's fun.
Right.
But doing them flip, watching some of those designs, we were sitting there just watching that thing go.
Right.
It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. They are. It is amazing how technology is advanced to where you can, you know, in your mind, you think you're really doing those loop-de-loops and all that stuff. It's a real feeling, if you will.
It is, but I can't, like I said, I can't do the two crazy ones. Some of the things we see there.
Wow. Yeah. Let's see. This has been going on for a while now, but I'll just mention it because it's a burr in my saddle. But some of Off Kilter has been playing at Epcot. The Canadian, I couldn't remember the name a few shows back, but they're called the Canadian Holiday Voyagers. And they bring back songs, bring back music and song from all regions of Canada. So if you've been down there, you know, for the holidays, you've got to see a little bit of Off Kilter. It's not quite the same band, but several of the Off Kilter band members are part of this group. And although, like I said, they're playing slightly different music, I'm sure, at least they were there at the, that stage where they used to play all the time. So good to see them guys back in some shape, way, or form.
Well, it's good. I mean, they're no Lumberjacks, but I'm glad they're back.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. We haven't heard a whole lot about the Lumberjacks lately. It seems to kind of just die down, and I don't know if people are just used to it and it's just part of the deal now or something's brewing. But it's just interesting that you don't really hear anything at all about them anymore.
Yeah, well, no news is good news as far as that.
I guess so. And the only last thing I'll mention, and we did mention it last week, but some more photos have come out of the I think it's open now, at least the recent pictures that I've seen, which were much more elaborate than what I saw last week before we did the show, of the Polynesian lobby. It really looks nice. Now I'm even more excited about seeing it in person than I even was when I saw those original couple of pictures. But from the pictures I saw, there seemed to be guests sitting in the, on the couches and in the chairs. So I'm assuming it's open at this point. What do you think, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. It's open. It's open to the guests. I mean, and I spoke about it on the Be Our Guest podcast. I love the new design in there. There's some people that were negative about it. I know you read that online and
right.
stuff, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's always going to be positive and negative. I mean, there's no right or wrong, and I get that. But, I like it. It looks clean. It's more inviting.
Well, the negativity was what I got was people saying it looks like the Wilderness Lodge, and it looks nothing like the Wilderness Lodge.
Right.
I mean, it is open as far as it's a hotel lobby, but I think the new lines and the cleanliness of it, and it's more modern. It's more sleek looking in there, don't you think?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's more contemporary, and was one of the original resorts at Walt Disney World that's been open since what, 71. So, I mean, it was, as they say, long in the tooth, and let's face it, it had an odor about it, and we all kind of associate that odor or that smell with the Poly, but the fact of the matter is, with all that water in there, I'm sure the wood has absorbed all that moisture for all them years. I mean,
it had a damp, musty smell.
Right, exactly.
It had the Pirates of the Caribbean
exactly.
smell.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm sure this is going to, breathe life into it. And, now you have access to all the stores on the bottom. You can sit in the middle, and while the wife's shopping or whatever, you can have a seat and just people watch or whatever. I mean, you can get to the check-in desk down there that used to be, you wouldn't even know where to check in half the time if you'd never been there.
No, it's too cluttered and tight.
Right.
And this is so much better. It's more elaborate. It's more, when I walk into a hotel, even though Riverside isn't huge, don't you like that atrium, that little area you walk into, that round area, then you see all the, then you go to the right and see where the boat, like you're headed in, isn't it? I like the grand feel of walking into a lobby. I didn't have that feeling before with the Polynesian.
No.
Now you do.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I love the, you know, the waterfall and all that. That, you know, that was unique and, you know, that screamed Polynesian, if you will, at least for me. But I'm good with the change. I think it's clean. It's nice. And with the bungalows open up and everything, that whole resort's going to be, it's going to be awesome when all the construction's done.
Yeah, and the thing of it is to say it's like the Wilderness Lodge, like, I mean, we compare to the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, but their two foyers, the only thing they have in common is they're grand. All the woods, all the architecture, all the design inside is totally different. The same thing with the Polynesian. All the different woods, the carvings, everything else, don't say anything wilderness to me. It says, you know what I mean, Asian Polynesian. It says water. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the
island. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'm sure the Disney Imagineers did their homework, and they probably imported wood species or mimicked with plaster or whatever the wood species that you would find in that part of the world. So yeah, I agree with you, Doug. I'm sure it's totally different. And
the light fixtures, everything, it's like so authentic to that area where, you know, I mean, and that I'm getting just from the pictures. I can't wait to see it with my own two eyes.
I agree. I'm definitely on my next trip down going to make a trip over to the Poly because I can't wait to see it for myself.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to hearing the trip report from it.
Yes. And pretty much that's all I have for news this week, unless you have something to add.
No, that's about it, Dan. You covered pretty much everything I've seen. It just, you know, like we said, if you're going to the parks, be prepared to be crowded. Don't be frustrated because even the people I've booked and helped book, I went out of my way to tell them, make sure you do your fast passes. And only plan on doing one or two things besides that, and you'll be ahead of the game.
There you go. You got to have the right attitude to be down there this time of year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I told them to pack snacks in their backpacks, energy bars or something, because you might not be able to get – when you're hungry, you ain't going to be able to get food on a dime.
No, that's a good point. Maybe stock up at your food court at your resort or something like that with some power bars or whatever you can fit in your backpack. That's a great advice.
Absolutely, just especially, and I'm not even being smart, like if you have somebody, like I don't have diabetes, touch on wood, but I have this thing where I burn energy, where I get that weak feeling. You ever get that?
Yep.
And if you have somebody that's diabetic or something like that, make sure you have food or something with you, because you're not going to be able to go up to, I mean, if you're really sick, they're going to take care of you, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying if you feel like you're getting low or you need a snack, don't plan on being able to walk up to Columbia Harbor House and get something within 5-10 minutes. You're going to be in a line for 20 minutes to a half hour wherever you go for food.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, and we usually do that when we go down. We throw some stuff in the backpack, you know. Well, we used to do it more when the kids were smaller, but, you know, not a bad idea. And, you know, the old freeze some bottles of water the night before and bring that with you. So you have at least some water and some supplies in case you can't get to a dining location quick enough.
Yeah, because you're going to be hungry. I mean, you'll be able to get stuff in the kiosk, but everything on those couple of days are so packed. That's ridiculous.
I just throw yourself on the ground in front of Spice Row table and say, I need some spicy garlic shrimp. Help.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's been getting more and more busy, too, from what we've been hearing from our rants out there. And I want to thank Bob and all the guys, too, for really plugging my bangers and mash.
Yeah.
So far, I think you're the only person that listens to the show or downloads the show that hasn't had bangers and mash yet.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, and I know you're not going to believe me, but I'm 99% sure I had it. But that was years ago. If it was on the menu, and I'll have to go back and look. I told you we my mother was down there one of the earliest trips we went on, and I know we ate at Rose and Crown, and I'm almost positive I had it, but again, my mind isn't what it used to be, and I couldn't honestly say I remember what it tasted like. So if you want to put me in the category of never having it, I can live with that.
Yeah, because if you ever had it, you would never forget it.
Okay.
Like, if I was going tomorrow, one of my last taste buds would remind me of that as I'm closing my eyes to go see the great one. I would remember the bangers and mash.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Like I told you, I have an ADR for March 12th, I believe it is, at Rose and Crown. So that will happen this trip.
Send your pictures to dear old Captain Dougie, and I'll be waiting for them.
Oh, wait till you see the picture I'm going to send. I'm going to get the waitress, and I'm going to do a big thing. You'll see.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. You could freeze overnight a patch for me if you wanted to dry ice a patch
okay.
and send it home
yeah.
for me. So what we're going to do now, Dan, you want to talk a little bit of your review, things that happened in 2014 at Disney World and what we're hoping for a little bit on 2015.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be brief. I mean, unfortunately, most of it's sad, at least for me, but I know you know where I'm going to go. But obviously, closing of Maelstrom was a major, disappointment to me personally, and I know I'm going to say 50% of the Disney community, at least, but, we move forward and we're going to get a new attraction there, but that was the biggest thing that sticks out in my mind as far as changes down at Walt Disney World, and, it's that and the aforementioned off-kilter, and not just off-kilter, but actually the four acts that were cut from the World Showcase, off-kilter, Moroccan, the American Adventure,
Fife and Drum,
and there was a fourth one that I just don't remember, but, again, to wrap it up, it was a year of change in especially Epcot. We just saw a lot of announcements and changes, and the park, as we all know, it could use some refurbs, and I would have chosen different things to refurb, but at least they're making an effort, and we'll see where it all comes out on the other end, but at least in my mind, those were the things that stuck out to me.
Well, I really miss it, and I tried to give it a chance when we spoke earlier about the Lumberjacks. I'm disappointed in that act. Very much so. I mean, that to me, that's way below Disney's standard. That's one of the and I was on board, like, trying to say, let's see what happens, because I miss off-kilter. I loved off-kilter, and I loved standing there and listening to them. The last time we were there, we talked to them personally and heard them. They were sad to be going, too. It's one of those things we just will never understand. And now they already have them back a little bit. So we don't know really what went on there. But we do miss it. And I miss the Fife and Drum. I love listening to them, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, two trips ago, I actually took three or four videos of them. And, it sounds corny, but if you kind of feel patriotic if you stand there and actually watch them go through their little presentation there. It's pretty awesome, or it was pretty awesome. And, I miss it. But again, it's not something it's not a destination, or it's not, at least for me, it's not something you're going to seek out in all likelihood on your map. But if you just happen to stumble upon it, it's like, whoa, what's this? And it's kind of cool, or it was kind of cool. So I definitely miss that.
And then me with Maelstrom, I'm really going to miss it. And it's one of my favorite rides ever. It's like, it's kind of like one of the dark rides that I always love, like, Spaceship Earth, Pirates. I consider that as one of the Epcot originals, if you follow me.
Yep.
But I'm not as negative about it until I see what comes out the other side, because I think it might not be as bad. I think it might end up being something like Pirates, where they just add a couple things and make it better. And, everybody was up in arms about Johnny Depp and Pirates. Am I wrong about that, with them changing it?
I think it was half and half. I mean, the movies were extremely popular. I think half the...
See, I hated it because I don't like Johnny Depp.
Right, but I mean, I wouldn't say, or at least my perception wasn't that it was hated. I mean, tradition...
It was frowned upon quite a bit. And I was one of them, because I was upset about it too, but when it was all said and done, I think the ride is just as good. Or no, it's better, actually, because there was other technology added to it and stuff like that. That the ride is better, but I still don't like seeing him sitting in those coins at the end. I want to jump out the boat and toss him in the water.
Yeah, well, that's a personal vendetta you have. But
my personal vendetta is, and it got me years ago, and I'll say the reason why. He said he don't want to raise his kids in America. They're better off being raised overseas in France and where he lives over there. But all his money is made here. Through the Walt Disney Company. And that kind of bothered me that you don't want to raise your kids in America.
Yeah, I read, or I remember hearing that same story. But what I've learned a long time ago, and I'll just leave it at this so we don't get too political, I don't judge actors and actresses based on what they say, whether it be on Twitter or whatever, because if you start listening to those people, you'd never watch any movie or watch any TV show because they have an audience and their opinion is no better or worse than mine or yours. But because they're famous and they might have a million followers or they're multimillionaires, I mean, I just ignore it all because, like I said, you'd have to shut off your TV if you went around like that.
Well, that all went down after September 11th and all that, Dan, mm-hmm. and it put a spur in my side, and anybody tells me he don't want to be raised here in America where he was born and where he made all his money and the reason he's rich is because of that.
I agree.
I have no time for you. I love Pirates and I love Disney World, and I still have never seen the Pirates movies.
Oh, hey.
I refuse to watch them because of him.
You can do what you want. I hear you, but like I said, he's not the only one. You take what's his name? I can't think of it now. Tom Cruise. I mean, he says some outlandish things, too. I'm sure you've seen several of his movies, but,
he does other things. No, my point isn't just that.
That's
my thing. But to get back to it, that's one of the reasons why I didn't want him on Pirates and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I still enjoyed the ride. It didn't ruin it for me. And I'm waiting to pass judgment on Maelstrom until it's done because – Disney, and I've said it on past shows, Disney has not really ever disappointed me with a refurb. The same thing when everything was going on with the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like I said, I've made my point 1,000 times. I'll just say it again.
You'll make it again as long as the show goes on.
It is. I have nothing against a Frozen attraction. In fact, I hope they put 4 of them down in Disney World. I love the movie. Just they shouldn't have put it in Norway. That's my thing. They could have put it somewhere else.
Well, I think the ride, to be honest with you, I think they feel it was getting long in the tooth because it hasn't been refurbed in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Norway's backing it anymore from what we've heard, correct?
That is correct.
So they needed to do something with it. And I hope they do better than what they did because I'm going to get into this to say what I hope for 2015. I hope to God goodness that they do something with the whole Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, the Michael Jackson, that whole area. I hope they do something with that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like we said at the beginning of this, Epcot, and Ellen's Energy Adventure, all that stuff. I mean,
but at least that's still okay. I can still enjoy myself there. I mean, over there at that pavilion, I wish they would just put what's the other one? The Timekeeper, back to exactly the way it was originally, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome for a throwback or something like that. That would be
great. Put that exactly back to where it needs to be, and then please do something new in that auditorium there.
Right. Well, like we said last show, if you think about it, I mean, all the construction that's going on, all the new things, Avatar Land, Disney Springs, the resorts that are being renovated, I mean, I don't think they could possibly add any more to their plate right now.
No, I don't, but I think, see, this is where I'm going nuts, is I think that area there should have been one of the first things. They did something with that has been so neglected for so long right now. I mean, and I know Mike will get upset with me because he loves that Michael Jackson.
Right.
But I just don't get it, do you?
No, I mean, like I said, I mean, I'd go on it. It's just not the greatest thing in the world, but I don't hate it, I guess. It's better than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or whatever audience.
See, I disagree. See, I like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience better than that.
Yeah. Either one, it doesn't matter. Neither of them are that great, I guess, is what I would say. And I certainly don't think it is representative of Epcot and cutting-edge technology. I mean, some of it was 20, 25 years ago, but not now. So,
I mean, it cracks me up that Captain EO even has FastPass Plus. I mean, I mean, what would you need a FastPass? What's it, like the fifth stage of your FastPass?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, like you always tell me, there's always new people going to Disney World, millions of them a year, and, somebody that's never seen it might think it's all right, or it's just something else on the map to suck people in, I guess. For people like us that go all the time, We have a different opinion of it, but I guess it's better than it being closed and empty.
Well, I think, and this is just me, because it's called the Imagineers Pavilion.
Right.
The Imagination Pavilion. Right. And Disney is supposed to be the leading in Imagineers. And I think of the pavilion that's named after them, they really dropped the ball.
Well, I mean, it could go back to, you know, kind of what you were saying about Maelstrom. I mean, that maybe they're trying to, you know, conjure up sponsors or some company to finance a new attraction or movie or ride or something like that. And you know, I know the economy's getting a little better now and things are starting to move. But, you know, maybe they're just waiting to partner up with somebody before they make a huge commitment. I mean, you know, Disney usually reaches out and tries to get somebody else to at least go in with them when they do a large endeavor like that. So could be something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, what we always talk about, and I've said to you a million times, yeah, there are new people going every single year down there, but it's getting to the point where it's not even relevant. I mean, it's so old school, I don't even know if it's relevant. It's like black and white television to us.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, I was just thinking in Disney World, like, it always used to kind of make me think or whatever, but, like, when you're in the Magic Kingdom, you know how the Tomorrowland Terrace usually is closed most of the time? Just
yeah.
Weird, like you're in a busy, busy theme park, there's people everywhere, and then you cut from Tomorrowland over to Main Street, and you see this place all not boarded up, but, you know, closed, I guess. And it's just weird when you see something down there like that, when you an empty show building or something that's just, you know, closed. Yeah. I don't know, it's just weird.
It's the same thing over by Pecos Bills or Aloha Island, the restaurant over there that's always closed.
Oh, the Horseshoe Review?
Yeah, the restaurant. It's right next door to Pecos Bill's. The Aloha or whatever
Show
the tacos. You can get the taco salads and all there, remember, when it's open.
Yep.
But I don't know it that well because every time I go, it's closed.
Yeah. Some of those things, as you know, are just seasonal or when the parks hit a certain capacity.
But I want to know what season it is because I've been there every single season.
Right.
I mean,
right.
40 times. I mean, I don't know when I got to go. Would it be open?
Yeah. No, I know what you say. There's some places that I've never seen open, too. It's funny. But, you know, there's got to be a reason.
People tell you they are, but I want proof
when
it's open. Somebody send me a picture, please.
Right. I mean, I've seen the Tomorrowland Terrace open a couple of times, but generally when you go through it's closed. And, you know, you'd think right off of Main Street USA in the busiest theme park in the world, how can they have a restaurant closed? It just, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me, but I'm sure there's a reason.
No, I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's always closed. I mean, Club Cool's always open at Epcot, but that place is always closed.
Yeah, something should be closed and they're not.
Yeah. No, I don't get it, but we never will. That's why they're rich and we're doing this little podcast.
Exactly.
So what else what else about 214?
I guess, you know, we heard more news about Avatar Land and getting excited about seeing some aerial photographs and seeing the progress. And, you know, we went so long, or at least it seems that they were just talking about it, and we weren't even sure there was ever a shovel put in the ground. But we now have evidence that they're actually well into construction and the underground infrastructure is in. And we should start seeing, I would think, early in 2015, some steel coming out of the ground and some buildings starting to take shape.
I'm looking forward to seeing those videos. Like, know how they'll do the park videos on Travel Channel stuff like that? And remember how they showed you how some of the rides will work? They'll test it in the back. Like, they did the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train they had in the back of a pickup.
Right.
A flatbed.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that with Avatar Land from some of the new rides to show you how they're testing the technology.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coupled with what you were just saying, Doug, I know Bob Iger, there was a story a couple of weeks ago where he I don't know how they did it, but it was one of
the new simulators.
Yeah, and you know, of course he said it was awesome and cutting edge and the greatest thing in the world. You expect nothing else for him to say, but I'm sure he meant it when he said it, and it's going to be cutting edge. So, I mean, the fact that they already have, you know, mock-ups of the ride vehicles or whatever they're going to be, or the, what do they call them, creatures in the movie? They were like pterodactyls or something like that. That's not the right word, but Something similar.
They were flying around on them. It's supposed to be the next generation of Soarin'. He said he actually got on the simulator, and he said it was unbelievable.
Right, right.
So I'm looking forward to that. And the other thing with 214, I would say, to cap off 214 in a nutshell, it was the year of Frozen.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
I would say that's the thing that's most embedded in my head from 214 in the parks. And I'm happy about it as far as everything at Hollywood Studios, because I think it made the studios a little fresher with everything that they're doing there. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, as we know, the studios is in transition, and anything they could have added. And, you know, I think they did a great job at, you know, because let's face it, you know, we all...
They shoehorned it all in as quick as they could, and it worked out pretty well for what it was.
Well, yeah, considering that, you know, I mean... Disney had no idea that Frozen was going to be the mega hit movie that it was. I mean, I'm sure they were hoping it would be successful, but I mean, it was more than successful. I mean, it's the number one animated film of all time, and it's breaking all box office records.
And it's still rolling.
And for them to roll out all of these different, you know, shows, and they had the ice skating rink and different stage presentations.
Build a snowman, and they really adapted to it pretty well on the fly.
Yeah, and we mentioned this in earlier shows, too. I mean, I think Disney's learned from their mistakes of the past when they've had other mega hits on their hands, like Lion King and Little Mermaid, where it took years and years to get attractions and characters out into the parks. They're jumping on this.
The same thing with Toy Story. I mean, really, until Toy Story, the ride opened, you really didn't really even see them around the parks that much.
Right.
You didn't see Woody and Buzz as much as you. I mean, Anna and Elsa are like everywhere.
Right.
And I loved Frozen, let me say this to start with. But I'll be honest with you, I was a little, how can I put this? It's like they got it in everything now. Like Once Upon a Time, the TV show.
Right.
Do you watch it?
I don't, but I know Frozen.
They shoehorned them in there, which was okay. But even that show, that's the one thing that I watch it still because I'm a Disney nut.
Right.
And I enjoy it.
Right.
But please, Disney, let these people be peaceful for 1 week. I mean, every week they can never be happy. The show started off where they roamed through town. You got to know the character. Like, they weren't all hurting each other. Now, every week, there's a new terror. I mean, there's a new
villain.
Yeah,
threat. Yeah,
yeah. Every single week. It's like these people should run from Storybrooke as fast as humanly possible and hide somewhere. It's like, it's not fun anymore. Like, show them having a good time once in a while. It's supposed to be happy, the happiest place on earth, not villains all the time. But, like I said, they shoehorned it in there. And now even my Christmas parade, I'm thinking Easter because of New Year, my joke. But the Christmas parade, Dan, did you see this year?
We taped it. I didn't watch it live. We had a house full, so we really couldn't pay attention to it. So I've yet to watch it. But go ahead. You won't spoil anything.
No, I taped it too because we had the music down quite a bit because the same thing with family. But it was already Disney's Frozen Christmas parade.
Right.
When did it become Disney? Why couldn't it just be? It should be just the Disney Christmas parade. Every other year it was that. Why this year? I mean, I know Frozen's big, but come on, guys. You got to stop with it a little bit. It didn't make anybody else watch the Disney parade that wasn't going to.
Right. Well, I have an issue with the Disney parade in general because – and we know this. I'm pretty sure we mentioned this last year that it's more of an infomercial for Disney. I mean, Alani gets –
And I'm fine with
that
because it makes me excited about going again. When I get a sneak peek of something I've never seen before, that's why I watch the whole parade anyway.
Right. But back in the day when Regis – Kelly and some different folks used to do the parade. At least they actually showed the parade, like the bands. I mean, they do it very – I mean, it's so limited now. It's just, you know, it's really – like I said, it's just a two-hour infomercial. And I love that stuff too. Don't get me wrong. But Alani gets a shot and then DBC gets a shot and, you know, all the different
different aspects
of the Disney company, right?
Different entities.
And I get it. It's ABC and it's Disney, and you know it's their time to have a captive audience that will have the TV on and you know living rooms across America, across the world for that matter. So you know I get it. I don't put them down for it, but I just wish they'd show the parade for 10 minutes straight, and they don't anymore, and it's all cut up, and I don't enjoy it as much as I used to 10 or 15 years ago.
No, I hear you, and I'm the same way. I watch it all, and all I got to say is with Frozen, come on, Disney, let it go a little bit.
Now.
Just a little bit, man. It's like you're burning me out, and I'm like an advocate for you guys.
Right.
But it's like enough is it? Just have the Disney parade. If you want to show Anna and Elsa, that's fine, but the mouse is still the man. Quit, you know, making Anna and Elsa bigger than Mickey.
Well, it's all about the almighty dollar, and that's where the dollar is right now. So
but, no, but these will come and go. The mouse will always be there. He's the staple, and it was like I'm tired of it's over the top. It's too much.
Yeah, but just when this starts to die out, what's that? Frozen Fever's coming out shortly, and I guarantee you they're in production for Frozen 2 or whatever they're going
to
call.
Oh, yeah, they already are. That was announced.
Right, so yeah. I mean.
And I'm happy about it because it's the more that movie makes, the more we're going to get at the parks, but just they don't need to push it so much.
Well, like I said.
It'll sell itself. It's like over the top now.
Well. You wanted it.
That's my dream for 2015. They slow down a little bit with the Frozen crap, and I'm hoping more comes with Avatar Land, like you were saying. I can't wait to see the River of Lights. What about you?
Yeah, that nighttime parade or spectacular or water show, whatever it's going to be at the Animal Kingdom. I mean, you know, that's going to be something so different that we haven't seen in that park. It's going to, you know, come to. I'm just saying it's going to, you know, generally speaking, you know, at dusk everyone's out of there. So that's going to be a place to go at night and give you a different, you know, a different option other than Epcot or the Magic Kingdom or you know, Hollywood Studios. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm so anxious. That's what I was butting in on. Being
no, that's all right.
I can't wait to just be hanging out at that park at night when it's set up for you to be there at night.
Exactly, and like I said before, it's just going to be interesting, and you know, we've touched on this. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, primarily lasers and lights and stuff like that because, you know, in my view,
loud noises,
yeah, I can't imagine there's going to be fireworks, or at least not the sound of the fireworks. Maybe they can still light off fireworks. It just won't be sound with it, and, you know, there'll be a musical score, I'm sure, that is, you know, played, but, you know, the utmost importance is the health of the animals, and I'm sure Disney wouldn't do anything to jeopardize any health of any animal there. So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate the show and all the people and all the hullabaloo that goes along with having hundreds of thousands of people in the park and still have the animals get their rest at night or whatever it is they do.
I just think it'll be awesome. I mean, I haven't done Everest in a few years, but that would be cool just to ride that at night.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a different feel, because tell me how much – something about Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at night seems a lot faster, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It gives you a different feel, and that was one thing I didn't do that I don't know if – I don't remember if you did, but I did the mine train a couple of times, but both were during the day. I want to ride it at night and see what the difference is.
Well, I did it at night. That's when we did Extra Magic Hours. Remember I told you me and Brenda got on like 11 o'clock?
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, I remember. Did it,
it was awesome because the rocks are all lit up nice. It gives you a totally different view. It's different.
Yeah.
It's bright enough where you see everything, but it's cool because you're it's hard to explain, but you know what I'm saying. The shadows, the lights, the whole beauty of Fantasyland lit up. Fantasyland lit up at night is gorgeous too.
Yeah, no doubt. So that definitely would, you know, Everest or Mine Train or any of them. I got to try to see them at night or at a different time so you get a different feel.
Yeah, and I have to say that the mine train was the cherry on top. I know people say it ain't long enough or whatever, but blah, blah, blah. It's awesome. It is what it is for where they could put it. It isn't like they had, 2 square miles to build a ride.
Right, right.
They had a spot where they had to put it. And I honestly, I mean, there is really nothing, and I know you're not as happy with the big top area, but myself, there's nothing I would have changed in the whole Fantasyland. I like everything about it. I think they hit a home run with the whole layout of it. And the way they – if you go to the park, it's like it's been there since it opened. Am I wrong?
No, I got to agree with you. And, you know, I think it's a huge improvement over the plastic houses. What was it? Mickey's you know, his house there and all that. I mean,
he's doing
I mean, you know, that, I guess that was all right for the little toddlers and stuff like that, but it was kind of hokey. I mean, now it's really a themed land, if you will, and, you know.
It's family friendly now. Everybody wants to
be there. I mean, with the Little Mermaid dock ride and, you know, the Mine Train, those are two great attractions, I think, and, you know, the double Dumbos there, or dueling Dumbos, whatever you want to call them, that relieved a lot of huge wait times there, so, I mean, that's a huge improvement. So, yeah, I think they did a great job.
Absolutely. All the whole area there where the new restrooms are and that where you walk down into that seating area where all the new, like the couple stores are, you know, where you walk from Columbia Harbor House through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole area there, they did gorgeous. It's like it flowed forever. It flows so much better through there now than it did when it was the other way.
Yeah, and, you know, I know I mentioned this before. It takes you a couple of times through to kind of get your bearings. Like I said, if you can't see Cinderella's castle, you know, with the first time you go in there, it kind of, it's disorienting. But once you go through it a couple times, it all fits together, like you said. And they did. They did a great job.
Yeah, I'm really excited about 2015. I mean, 14 was great. I mean, besides prices going up, I love the, you know, and we're never going to get away with that, but I love the Magic Bands. I love the way they're going with the Magic Bands. I love everything about, there's not one complaint I have except for, the only complaint I have is people that never use them are confused as heck by them. They aren't the easiest thing to figure out.
Yeah, well, I know we were talking offline last night, or off the air, I should say. And, I mean, I love the Magic Bands. I think I've used them, oh, I don't know, four or five times now. And knock on wood, I have not had one single issue with my media, with anything. I mean, I've used the system, I've used the app, and it's worked as Disney said it would work. However, that being said, I know there are people out there that have had problems, and, you know, I understand. Understand that nothing's perfect, but
you haven't used them in big groups yet. No.
Well, that's why I was saying, we were talking last night. I have a very I'm not going to go into it, but we're doing a family trip in the spring, and multiple people from different states and traveling on different flights and all kinds of different ticket media. So I'm going to put them.
And I got to help out, guys.
Yeah, we'll do a show on this down the road and see if we can help some of our listeners out that maybe having a similar trip in the coming year. But, you know, it's one thing to just order a couple of bands for, you know, the people residing in your household. That's pretty much cookie cutter. But when you start bringing in different people from different states and different addresses and different, you know, like I said, that's going to put it to the test.
Yeah, and the other thing that messes you up, too, is, like, we had the one problem, which I loved. Like, the thing I said I loved the most is roaming back and forth in and out of your hotel room, and there's times where you have your wallet and they're in the room and you're just running down to grab something, you'll run out the door and you'll forget your key.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's so nice that your band's always on you, that you always have it on, your hands are not full, you're coming back to the room. Like when I would going down the, like when we would go to Riverside, because I tell the story how I do the walk all the time and grab all the food, it's so nice to walk up to the room and just have my band when I have the tray in my hand.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a big convenience, and you know,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
the only problem we had was the one time on Toy Story Mania it didn't link up all my fast passes. And the other problem is if you have six people in the group trying to have one person that has something different than you.
Right.
You can't, you know, stuff like that. That's what makes it difficult. Like if you're going down and there's five of you and grandmom does not want to do Space Mountain and Splash Mountain.
Right.
But you got to put her on you understand what I'm saying? But then you got to use it so you can reload for all six people again.
Right, right.
There are the problems that arise when you do groups of people.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll.
You got to iron out.
Yep. It's just one of those things. But I'm sure Disney's getting better and better at it, and we shall see what the future brings with that.
And what are you excited about 2015 then?
Well, an obvious one is, you know, and we've talked about it right along, is Disney Springs. I mean, I think the more I see and learn and hear and read about all the restaurants and new shops that are coming there, this is much. it's on a much grander scale than I ever thought it was going to be. I mean, I've seen a lot of the construction firsthand when I was down there on my last trip, and it's going to be quite the place when it's done. So I'm looking forward to, you know, it opening up in sections as we go through the coming year. And, you know, it should be pretty much done, I would think, by this time next year, or pretty close, wouldn't you say?
Pretty close. They'll probably have an on or an end, because there's always some that at the end they decide they want to change or move forward. And that's the stuff that we go through. Like, you know that, Dennett, what you run at work. The last minute changes are the ones that take the longest, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, right. Unanticipated, and you got to go back in. But I mean, just the restaurants opening, and you know, we know, the construction walls, you feel like a mouse in a maze, if you will, right now. But, you know, them construction walls should start to come down, and you should start to really get a feel for what it's going to be. And I'm excited about it.
It should be in the 90 percentile of done. I would say that for sure by the end of 2016. I think it should be almost there. The only thing I know you're excited because you're at Saratoga Springs. It makes things easy for you. It'll liven up your resort.
Right.
It kind of makes it more like the Boardwalk District again. Like, once it's done, it's going to be vibrant down there.
Yeah.
I'm just excited because it could make Riverside even more popular than it already is.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, any of the resorts that are on that waterway, the Sasagula, you know, Old Key West, Saratoga Springs, Port Orleans, Riverside, all of those are going to be, you know, primary resorts for somebody that wants to partake in the Disney Springs district, because, you know, I'm sure there's going to be entertainment. Well, there already is. You got Splitsville. You got all kinds of things down there, but it's going to be those resorts are going to be destination resorts now. So, you know, even though Riverside is a favorite of ours, unfortunately, with all the, you know,
amenities now.
Well, the amenities, but, you know, it's going to be tougher to book a room there.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's a good thing, a bad thing. You know, it's just like Spice Road Table. We gave out our trade secret with how awesome
our
that
hidden,
place is, and we're not going to be satisfied till we go there and we can't get in because it's booked up. So.
Well, that's what happened to Cellier. Nobody liked it. It wasn't that nobody liked it. It was like we could go every time we wanted, and all of a sudden it had a cult following.
Right.
Like, out of nowhere became the it place.
Exactly.
And I have a, you know, prediction, like, I think, and I've said it before, and I know Mike Rahman from Be Our Guest was upset about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see either another resort go up on that area somewhere or an expansion on French Quarter, because I think there's going to need more rooms in that area.
Yeah, I mean, with multiple.
Then they haven't added anything to the moderates in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, what, Out of Animation was probably the last moderate they did, right?
No, that's considered value.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry, moderate. I'll be all right. No, you're right. That sweet spot, the middle of the road, you know, not the, you know, the high-end resorts, but not the values either. You're right. That's a good point.
I call it the middle porridge.
Yeah.
Not too hot, not too cold.
Right.
It's just right.
Right.
But it's just the point. They've done nothing. Everything's been DVC
or
the value. They've really done nothing since Coronado Springs for the moderates.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I don't know how this relates other than it's just a fact. I mean, you know, there's been some high-end hotels that have opened up there. I say it, and then I can't remember the name. What's the big by the golf course?
The Wyndham, and then you also had the Waldorf Astoria.
There you go. Thanks, Doug.
And then you have the Hilton.
Right. I mean,
the Hilton.
They're not Disney resorts, but I'm just wondering if you know Disney's kind of getting away from building their own resorts, and they're looking for a partner to bring hotel rooms in to support all these new amenities. I don't know. I'm just guessing if that could.
Well, it seems like they're either being outsourced or they're doing DVC. But like I said, they did do the Art of Animation, but those buildings were already there.
Right. And with DVC, obviously, the owners pay for all that, so it's not really costing Disney anything other than they kind of front the money and then the members pay it all back. And so, it, you know, at the end of the day, it's a wash, really.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think something has to happen with moderate resorts through Disney, or they're going to need more rooms because Riverside is and French Quarter are sold out immediately. When any specials go on,
right,
they're sold out immediately. Mm-hmm. The only one that ever has rooms all the time, and I'll be honest with you, there's been a couple times lately, and I was shocked. Caribbean Beach was sold out.
Wow.
And that resort's never sold out.
Right.
You know, but I couldn't get days there a couple times.
Right.
You know, on most crowded times, but usually when all else failed, you'd go to Caribbean Beach. And then Coronado, you know, that, for some reason, like you said, you love it, but that isn't the most sought after. But even that, the moderate rooms are, I think they're the most popular rooms on property.
Yeah, like I said, it's a sweet spot, you know. It's not outrageously expensive, at least in Disney terms, if you will. And you know, the amenities are, you know, a little step up from the values. So, you know, it is a sweet spot for a lot of families that, you know, want to stay at a nice place and, you know, are budget conscious as well.
Yeah, because they could add, I think there's room at French Quarter that they could add another building or two. But I know everybody likes it, that it's quaint and blah, 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 but I just think there's going to be more. I mean, the hotels on Hotel Plaza Boulevard, they're probably, like, smiling from ear to ear right now with all this work going on down there. Because all it's going to do is make it more enticing to stay at their hotels.
Yeah, and like I said, they're building them fast and furious. I mean, the B Hotel opened up or is going to open up soon. There's a bunch of places down there that
The B Hotel opened up this summer. That's been open for a while
right
now.
So, I mean, you know, people aren't leaving. They're coming, or at least companies aren't leaving. They're coming, and, you know, new resorts have gone up and bordering the Disney World property, they're everywhere. And then that Westin expansion, I mean, we don't know what's going to go in there, but they do say that there's going to be kind of value type, not necessarily Disney resorts, but hotel chains, if you will.
It sounds like a Holiday Inn Express, stuff on that end of the line, the Courtyard by Marriott, stuff like that.
Right.
That are still nice, but they're not the Waldorf Astoria.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's going to be, you know, so there are hotels, you know, either being built or have recently been built and opened. But, no, you're right, Doug. It'll be interesting to see what Disney does itself. And your comment about DVC, it's also going to be interesting now that they have DVC at the Contemporary with Bay Lake Tower, and then they have the Pauley Bungalows, and they have the Grand Floridian. It's going to be interesting to see if DVC stops building on Walt Disney World property or whether they go elsewhere.
It's done now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's done unless they go to a modern.
Exactly, and that's interesting too. Maybe that's the model that they do something at one of the moderates that's a DVC building or two buildings or whatever. It'll be interesting to see where they go, because I'm pretty sure I read that the Pauley is going to be starting to be sold, I think, in March or the beginning of March. So once that goes on sale, they're usually a place ahead, and we'll hear rumors about this, that, or the other thing. But I have not heard nothing at all about
me neither.
Nothing else happening in Walt Disney World. And who knows?
Yeah, because Disney hasn't built anything, like I said, besides the Art of Animation on property in their own name with their own flagship as a normal hotel where you can rent normally.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can rent DVC, but it's crazy to rent it. It's a lot, you know, a lot of money renting that straight.
Right.
Unless you go through like us with David's Vacation Club Rentals, and you can get really good deals from him. But it has to be an outside source to go book right through us, like through me as an agent, to book a vacation club, pay you out of pocket. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It's hundreds of dollars a night, I would think, right?
Yeah. So the only new hotels that they have built has been resourced outside. And I'm wondering what's going on with that, because something's going to have to be built in the value or moderate. They can't just constantly be building DVC, I don't think.
No, because, you know, there's a price point for everyone, and, you know, people are going to continue to come to Disney World more and more and more, and, you know, people that can only afford a value, they need a place to stay, and we know Disney wants you on their property as opposed to, you know, out on 192 or whatever, so you're right, they got to build some more of those. Or when I say they, somebody has to build some more hotel rooms that are at that price point.
And people are like you. Like, I've been talking to you, and we've been talking offline because we have a couple, you know, different sponsors that have been reaching out to us and talking to us, and we've been weighing the on-property or off-property kind of deal. Now, we always want to stay on a Disney flagship hotel, but it's getting to the point now where they're not having the inventory that you need for their Disney flagship hotels at certain times. Some people have to book elsewhere because they can't afford to stay in a deluxe hotel.
Right, or if you're traveling with an, you know, extended family or whatever, and you need multiple hotel rooms, I mean, that can get pricey. You're doubling or tripling your cost.
Well, the other thing is, too, if you're sending a couple down there and all the moderates are booked and you want to book and they don't want to stay at a value because they don't have kids or something like that, now you're going to start looking at places like the Bee or other places like that because you want to have a relaxing vacation. Some people don't want to lay at the pool with 8,000 toddlers of other people.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And again, not to go on a DVC rant here, but that's one of the reasons we really like DVC because, you know, even at any of the DVC resorts, you know, yeah, there's kids around, it's Disney World, but it's a lot more laid back or, you know, not as many kids, little kids running around. I mean, it's not like Pop Century, which I love, but it's just a whole different feel. It's almost like you're in a condo or something like that. It sounds weird, but, you know, it is relaxing and the amenities there. You know, again, there's kids everywhere. It's Disney World, but it's just a different experience.
Yeah, but if you're going down, like I said, a honeymoon or something like that, and you can't afford the deluxe, but you want some private time or whatever, some of the values I've stayed, they aren't cracked up for alone time.
No.
There's not many places. That's my point. Like, that's what I love about Riverside. There's places where me and Brenda can walk every night and be alone.
Oh, yeah, there's nooks and crannies. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the point I'm making. There's really not many nooks, many crannies at Pop or any of the all-stores for you to have a room. Even if there is one, it's not too romantic sitting on a big wheel.
Right, exactly. Or a big yoga.
You know, that's my point. And there's certain clients that there are certain times of the year where those options aren't available to them. And even at the peak times when the moderates are available, the prices are over $200 a night now.
Right. No.
You know, so there's a lot of value. There's a lot of different options out there that people have to start looking for. But when it's all said and done, you still want to stay at Disney property, but they're making it harder and harder to do right now.
Right. No, this
because they just constantly keep adding high-end stuff. They're not adding anything low or medium.
Right. Well, again, they know what they're doing, and they build to where the money is. So I got to figure they know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they fleece me for enough. I know.
Yeah.
They will continue to do so.
Yes.
Well, we'll continue next week on our 2015 rant. And we got a lot of good shows coming up. We got all kind of new visitors going to be popping in as guest hosts in the next couple months. Wouldn't you say, Dan?
Yeah, I've heard rumblings about a couple of folks, and we're trying to nail down.
Iron it out.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, we're going to have some good content for you guys coming in the new year, and we're happy that you've been with us 2014 and hope you join us on our journey into 2015 on WDW Main Street.
Yeah, we want to thank you guys. Thank you guys for your patronage. If you didn't hear our last show, we want to wish you. Hope everybody had a happy and healthy holiday. Happy Merry Christmas, the whole nine yards. And we want to wish everybody a very happy and healthy New Year. May all your dreams come true in 2015. What do you think, Dan?
I concur.
So that'll be it, guys. And again, Happy New Year. Check out our sponsors. If you could, please give us a review over on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And if you need to get us, we're at WDW Main Street on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Hop on our website, WDW Magical Main Street Memories. And I'll see you soon, Dennis. You be good. I'll see you in 2015.
You got it, Doug.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.